Broadcasting and streaming worldwide from the Golf Club Studios, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
Hi, Danielle. It's Ben Crenshaw.
Hey, Ben, and we need you. And we're looking forward to Ed Kagayama being on the show, the general manager, Pearl at Kalaua'au. And of course, yes, the Alawai Golf Course. Claude Brousseau, Master PGA Teaching Professional. We need him. He's going to teach us a thing or two today. Mark Rolfing is going to be in the clubhouse, analyst, commentator, NBC Golf Channel, of course. He'll be with us in just a couple of minutes. And we'll wrap up the show with Michael Patrick Shields, our travel guru extraordinaire. Hey, he's been at all the parties. Yeah, the parties, the Hollywood parties. I can't wait to hear what's going on, Hollywood. All right, I don't sing, but it's going to be a mostly sunny day today. Windward and mocha showers, haze throughout. Ooh. Isolated showers in the morning, scattered showers in the afternoon. On the leeward side, yeah, that haze is going to be with you too. And isolated showers this afternoon. High today about 82 and the variable winds 5 to 15 miles per hour. On the Big Island, sunny, windward, isolated showers in the morning, haze through the day. Is she erupting? Okay. And then the leeward side, isolated showers in the morning, scattered showers in the afternoon. High today on the Big Island, just about 84, a little bit hotter than here. Variable winds 5 to 15 miles per hour. And tea times, okay, the tea times there are calling the two beer crew. They're on the golf course at Macaulay. There's a 9:18 and a 10:28 if you'd like to get out there. Volcano Golf Club, you could see the volcano erupting. It's a fantastic place to see something absolutely awe-inspiring. 8:32 tea time, 9:24, and a 10:48. Kauai on Poipu Bay's beautiful golf course. Poipu, yes, 10:20, 11:40, 12:30. Get on out there. Kauai Lagoons, 10:16, 11:08, 12 o'clock. Oahu, oh, we've got a whole bunch. There's Hawaii Kai, 8:56, 9:20. Turtle Bay has an 8:32 and a 9:10 and an 11:48. And the turtles are on the golf course. And guess what? We play slow. We've also got Royal Hawaiian Golf Course, 8:52, 9:06, and a 10:10. And the skirts, they're out on the golf course. Eva Beach Golf Course, 8:36, 9:08, 11:10. Bayview, 8:40, 9:20. And the Wailea Gold Course has an 8:50 and a 9:10. The Emerald, a 9:50. Everybody's on the Emerald. Blue Course, 8:40 and 9:20 and 9:50. And at Maui Nui, there's a 9:20 and a 10:40 and an 11:36. And right after this, Mark Rolfing. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is the Golf Club.
Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club, brought to you by Pacific Repair Services, located at 540 Lagoon Drive across from JN Motors. PRS does appliance repairs, maintenance, and sales. The Newtown Driving Range, warm up before your round or wind down after work. The Newtown Range, operated by the Casey Nakama Golf Group. Good golf, good food, and good fun. The Aloha Section PGA, teach your kids to play golf. The game that lasts forever. Aloha Power Equipment. We put power at your fingertips in Evilay next to Costco Gas and in Waipahu. And teaching pro Claude Brousseau at the Wailea Golf Academy, Maui. Now, here's Danielle Tucker.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm inspired. All right, first off, Mark Rolfing is with us. And Mark, welcome into the golf, golf club clubhouse.
Hi, Danielle. Good morning. Let's see. It's Saturday morning here. Would have been the third round of the century. It's one of the prettiest days I've ever seen here. And the golf course is packed up at the plantation, but nobody from the PGA Tour. Kind of disappointing.
So it's in spectacular or almost spectacular condition?
I wouldn't say almost. Actually, we had Ben Crenshaw, your friend here, Monday through Wednesday. Oh. He and Bill Coore were working on the courts, and I had dinner with Ben on Tuesday night, and the first thing he said to me, Mark, your golf course is in the best condition I have ever seen it.
Oh, my God. You know, if only, I just have to read this, okay, because Century Insurance has been an amazing, amazing friend to Maui, to the people there, and Kapalua in particular. So from Kapalua to Century Insurance, they say, we extend a heartfelt mahalo to Century Insurance, whose remarkable $1 million donation once again demonstrates their unwavering commitment to the people of Maui. Mind you, that $1 million donation came just recently. Before that was the almost $800,000 donation. So, yes, these are our friends. These are their sister cities, sister country, sister states. And that is really, it just really takes, you know, it's just beautiful the way they have embraced being a part of Maui, Mark.
Yeah, they brought some people from Wisconsin with them. They arrived on Monday and were here until Thursday, right during tournament week when they would have been here. And they just did a remarkable job. You know, they've given almost $5 million. I think the number is somewhere around there in the last couple of years since the wildfires. And what I really enjoyed about what they did on Wednesday here was they basically gave money to charities that really need help and are totally relevant to the situation here. So the Maui Food Bank got $250,000. They desperately need money. The Pu'ukukui Watershed, that is where the water is. That's where the water is going to potentially come from when we get this water delivery system fixed and bring it down the mountain. They really need help, and they got $250,000 from Century. Just a remarkable gesture. That's really going to help them. And I spent quite a bit of time with Stephanie Smith and Pete McPartland, and they are just remarkable, remarkable people.
Yes, that is absolutely, and I'm so glad. I didn't know they were on Maui, so that's very cool that they went to Maui and were representing the Century. Do you think we'll have the Century back next year? Do you think the Sony will stay with us?
Look, it is very complicated. You know, even though the course is in the best shape it's ever been in now, you know, there was no choice when they were in August and we had all the water restrictions. Mm-hmm. They couldn't take the chance.
Right.
So I totally understand that. You think about it, Danielle, here's what's changed since Century started. Century came to Maui in 2017. That was their first year. And they've had, I believe, four different contracts during that time, every time upping their commitment even more. But three critical things have changed since 2017. The first is the NFL playoffs have expanded dramatically. There's way more games, way more dates, you know, way more everything. And that is right in the middle of the Century Tournament, the NFL playoffs. The second thing is TGL, the Indoor Golf League. That was not in existence, was nowhere to be seen, and they now have a number of teams, and they're expanding and playing more games and more dates. That is right in the middle of January. And the third thing is the Middle East has three gigantic events now in Saudi Arabia and Qatar and Abu Dhabi. Those are right in the middle of January. Rory McIlroy plays in them. Tommy Fleetwood plays in them. So with that being said, I don't see a future for PGA Tour golf in January. Might be one more year, but I think that will change. And that could create some opportunities, I think, for Hawaii. If you remember, we didn't always play at the beginning of January. There's a lot of other options. So when you couple those three new things with COVID, the Maui wildfires, the worst drought in history, you've got a very complicated situation. So we're working hard on it, but it is complicated.
Yeah, I got it. Very much so. Now, I'm just going, we're staying with the PGA Tour, of course. I want to know, Brian Rolapp's departure from the PGA Tour, after being with the PGA Tour as their fearless leader, this is very strange to me. How can a man make a decision to go and become committed to organization like the PGA Tour only to his family? I get it, but wow.
No, that's not Brian Rolapp. That's Derek Sprague that you're referring to.
I'm sorry.
He's the CEO of the PGA of America. He's the one who has left his position and gone to back to his family. That's okay. Derek Sprague. So Brian Rolapp is still in position at the PGA Tour.
Oh, okay. I don't know where I got that because I went in search of information and I frankly copied and pasted this information. So this is completely wrong.
Well, just so you know, and it's the important thing to think about the PGA Tour. The single most important element, Danielle, is that for all these years, the PGA Tour has been a not-for-profit organization. They were the only one of the major organizations. The NFL, the Major League Baseball, the NBA, they were all for-profit organizations. And as of late last year, the PGA Tour is now a for-profit organization. And when you think about the dynamic of that, it totally changes their business model.
Mm-hmm.
And it totally changes what they're doing. And so I do not see the PGA Tour playing golf tournaments opposite their own NFL playoff games. Not that it's the PGA Tour's playoff games, but so many of the administrators at the PGA Tour now have come from the NFL, just like Brian Rolapp did. That I see them totally respecting that. So I think you're going to see a smaller PGA Tour schedule, less events, bigger markets. I think they're going to create more demand, and I think it's probably a pretty good strategy.
Oh, great. Okay, good. It sounded like they were doing everything for the NFL and not for the PGA Tour. And the reason, of course, I'm concerned about it is because we're into golf. I do think there are too many tournaments. What do you think about shrinking the numbers?
I like it. If you look at the NFL schedule, Daniel, they have 17 games. They have three preseason games, and then they have the playoffs. The PGA Tour has 44 tournaments. The PGA Tour goes year-round. It's too much. I think it's too hard on the athletes. We're seeing a number of players injured. By the end of the year, everybody's got nicks and knacks and all sorts of smaller issues because they've played so much. And I think creating some scarcity and creating some demand is going to be good. We don't want to head where tennis has gone. Tennis is at a point now where they've expanded so much that they have two or three tournaments every week.
Oh.
And the only tournaments that matter in tennis anymore, the only ones that matter at all are the four major championships. We don't want to see golf go in that direction. So I think a little bit of shrinkage is fine, and I think that's what you're going to see.
All right. Well, I like it. I like it a lot. All right. Big changes in the offing, of course, as you've been hearing. How about Brooks Koepka leaving LIV for the PGA Tour, asking for a reinstatement?
Well, you know, Brooks handled his LIV situation totally different than any other player. He was not part of the lawsuit that the players filed against the PGA Tour. Even Bryson DeChambeau was part of that lawsuit. So Brooks was not. You never heard Brooks say anything bad about the PGA Tour or bad about any of the players on the PGA Tour. He was very quiet about it, and I think he did it the right way. So having said that, I could see a scenario where they allow Brooks back in a pretty expeditious manner. I don't know if he can come immediately back, but I don't think he's going to have to wait a year. Having said that, the next player that makes the move, if Bryson DeChambeau were to say, I'm going back to the PGA Tour, I think that would be the end of Liv. Now, Bryson can't do it the way Brooks did because, you know, he went a lot farther than Brooks did. And certainly a guy like Phil Mickelson would not be welcome back, given all the stuff that he said and did and the way he recruited other players. So I think every individual player is going to be different. But the next one that goes, and I think this Koepka situation is going to instigate some more, I think that's going to be real trouble for Liv.
Okay. I'm frankly not too worried about Liv. They've kind of rocked the boat from the very beginning. But I do want to talk a little bit more about Bryson DeChambeau. He makes millions of dollars off of YouTube.
He does. you know, I've heard from Bryson. In fact, Bryson has said to me himself, you know, hey, if my future is in YouTube golf, that's a really bright one. I mean, I think he believes he can make $50 million a year off YouTube golf.
Wow. And the
most important thing is that's what he really loves. He absolutely loves doing unique, strange things, trying shots that people have never hit, you know, bringing young kids onto the show. He is very, very much into sort of that aspect of the game. And if you take a look at the future of golf, and where it's going to grow with younger people. It is getting younger and younger all the time. We're having more women play. We're having more minorities play. And I think YouTube has got a lot to do with that. And so I think he's on the right track, and I think he's got a plan that's going to work for him. The question is he going to do that with LIV Golf as his platform, or is he going to do it with the PGA Tour as his platform?
Yeah, or does he do it just because he makes his own platform? Yeah, that's wow. I've never watched it. Have you seen his YouTube golf?
I have. They're all different. There's no pattern to what he does. You know, he tries to hit shots over his house from the driveway, you know, to a hole in the backyard and make a hole in one. You know, he just tries things that are intriguing, and they've got people interested, and he's so enthusiastic about it. He has a lot of fun. But the thing you've got to remember, he is playing some great golf. He is the only one of the LIV golfers, I believe, that has actually gotten better going over there. But Bryson DeChambeau has turned into one of the best clutch putters in the game. He has become a really, really good putter. And so whatever he's doing is working. So I say, fine, go ahead and keep it up, and let's figure out a way to accommodate him.
Hey, I agree with you. It's, yeah, he's just a little bit outside the box, but he's making the box bigger. That's wonderful. Tiger Woods. Tiger, everybody wants to know if Tiger's going to play golf again.
You know, Tiger's going to play some kind of golf, I think, but I do not know that he's going to play competitive golf, and I am not in a position where I feel like I want to encourage him to try and do whatever he can to be competitive again on the PGA Tour Champions. Look, Tiger has cemented his relationship on the golf course forever. You know, he has played the greatest golf of any human that's ever been on this earth. There's no doubt about it. Mm-hmm. And that is never going to change. But what is going to change is Tiger's legacy off the golf course. And we heard his dad say when Tiger was 5 years old that Tiger could have a greater impact on this world than any other human, and that he could be like the Dalai Lama, and he could do all this stuff.
Yes.
And I still believe he could make an unbelievable contribution away from the golf course. We're seeing it a little bit now because he's the head of this competitions committee that is going to form this new PGA Tour schedule. I think he probably is in line to be a Ryder Cup captain. I would love to see him make some contributions away from the golf course, because I think he's already made his legacy on the golf course.
Yeah, good point. Very good point. And I'm sure his body would be very happy with that. Sometimes when I'm experiencing some interesting things in body land, and it's like I'm going to do what I need to do to survive. It's a survival mode, the body. And I'm not going to do that. Whatever you're trying to do, I'm not going to do that. It hurts me. And then It hurts you so that you can't do it anymore. Interesting. It's just, where did this come from? You know, how did I acquire this interesting pain? This is very silly. But I totally understand why he wouldn't want to play again. Why would he want to have to go back to the doctor's office and say, I need this fixed because it's not working anymore? He not only is he probably the one person in the world who's played the best golf ever, he's also probably the person with the most surgeries ever and the person who's experienced the most pain ever as a consequence. He's an amazing person, and as you say, it would be nice to see him do amazing things like his father hoped he would off the golf course. That's really something. So we have all of these things going on in the world of golf, and you are so important to golf. You know, did you know when you started getting into working, like heading Rolfing Sports, a sports management and consulting company? Did you know how important you would become to the game, not just to your own company?
No, I didn't. I didn't have any idea. You know, back then, the only way you could be important was to win a major championship. When I first became a TV golf analyst, 1986 was my first year at ESPN. I was the only analyst that had not won a major championship. David Faraday hadn't come along yet. Gary McCord hadn't come along yet. So I was just kind of the average guy. And, you know, somehow I was able to communicate with people and create a style where people kind of trusted me and they believed what I said. And as time has gone on, I've been able to be connected with so many people. And I've been so fortunate to be out in Hawaii here, where it's a small place, but a lot of people who really care about the game of golf and who do trust in me and have faith in me. And all I really am is a big cheerleader. I don't make any of the decisions. I'm not making any of these PGA Tour decisions or decisions really for Century or any of that. What I'm doing is just making sure everybody has the correct information and has all the elements and creates some options that they can make their decisions on.
Beautiful. You're also the founder and president of the Chicago Parks Golf Alliance. What is the Chicago Parks Golf Alliance?
Well, first of all, let me tell you who my partner is there. It's Tiger Woods.
Hey!
You know, that's a pretty good thing. You know, it's a project that is a dream. You know, in some ways it reminds me of Kahuku, although it's right in the middle of downtown Chicago. But, you know, it's a passion that I have to create more opportunities, more playing opportunities for kids. And you've got two golf courses there, public courses, that are both 100 years old and never been upgraded at all. They're just in really bad shape, and they need to be fixed up. And so the Chicago Parks Golf Alliance basically is an organization that's generating money and ideas along with Tiger to basically try and fix these places up and make Chicago the greatest golf town in America, which it was for all the years that I grew up there. Tremendous golf town, but all of that golf is public golf, and it's all over on the north side. This is on the south side of Chicago, and it's just a critical deal. And whether it's something I get done in my lifetime or not, I don't know, but somebody will, because it's the right idea.
Right on. And Tiger.
Yeah, that helps.
Yeah, that helps. And you also serve as a golf ambassador for MD Anderson Cancer Center. Everybody, there's one thing that Mark Rolfing wants you to do. Mark Rolfing, what would that be?
Put your sunscreen on. And in fact, don't just do it one time a day, because after 3 or 4 hours, it's gone. So at the turn, at the end of 9 holes, if you're playing 18, just go in the restroom, get in front of a mirror, and reapply it. I can't begin to tell you how important it is to protect your skin.
Wonderful. You are Mark Rolfing, Golf Channel, NBC Sports, golf commentator and analyst, member of the Hawaii Golf Hall of Fame in 2000, inducted, member of DePaul University Hall of Fame, and GolfHawaii.com. Thank you so much for being inside
Thanks,
the clubhouse.
Danielle.
Aloha. Okay, we got some other things going on, don't we? We want to learn how to play this game, right? I mean, when should I go on the golf course? It's so intimidating. I kind of like just staying over here where I can just hit balls, you know? We're going to find out after this. Claude Brousseau, PGA Master, Director of Player Development, Wailea Golf Academy at Wailea Golf Club on Maui.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the golf club.
PGA Junior League is a fun team golf experience for kids that the entire family can enjoy.
Boys and girls learn the game from PGA and LPGA professionals and have a great time with friends.
Find your team and get ready for a fun and exciting PGA Junior League season.
And want to see you out playing in your jersey and having fun? Visit PGAJuniorLeague.com.
Hey, you know what? In case you haven't heard, it's Aloha Power's week-long steel sale. It's time to retire those big box tools. Steel is on sale for up to 25% off. Riding, walking mowers, chainsaws, whackers, trimmers, and more. We have service, we have parts, we have accessories for every rider, from home to commercial-sized. Well, mow it, blow it, bag it, and you're done. And you've got equipment to do all of that stuff. And it's not all that big either. Get what you need at Aloha Power Equipment, Evilei, next to the Costco gas station and in Waipahu.
What's a great way to shape up your golf? Polish your swing at the Newtown Golf Driving Range, located in Aiea. Stop by to warm up before your round, or wind down after work and hit a few balls. Enjoy great food from our popular Newtown Cafe and check out the Asau Golf Shop for the most up-to-date golf equipment and club repairs. The Newtown Driving Range, operated by the Casey Nakama Golf Group. Good golf, good food, and good fun.
Hey, Mark Rolfing here. The First Tee Hawaii is a nonprofit organization that helps kids build character, confidence, and life skills through golf. And we need volunteers like you to coach our next generation of golfers. No matter your skill level, our free coach training gives you tools to mentor kids. We have locations on all the islands, and enrollment is open now for our Level 1 coach certification. Call 808-500-1515.
Ah, here's the local rule sign. Keep it in the fairway. It speeds up play. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
Claude Brousseau, Master, PGA Master, Director of Player Development at Wailea, author, Realize Your Golfing Potential, Unlock the Secrets of a Proficient Short Game. He's a Vision 54 coach and Aimpoint certified. Welcome into the clubhouse, Claude.
Good morning, Danielle. Thank you very much for having me.
Absolutely. You know, I'm the list of things that you know, Horton Smith Award recipient, V1 Sports Ambassador, creator of the Virtual Golf Academy for your desktop or your mobile device. You're pretty amazing. When did you get
in? Danielle, can I say something rapidly? I was looking at my file this morning.
Yes.
And it's our 10-year anniversary that we collaborate together.
Oh.
We started in 2016.
10 years?
Long time ago.
Where did the time go?
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. That's so, you know, you're also ranked number one from 2019 through 2025 best teachers in the state of Hawaii by Golf Digest. And you're still on the list 2026, 2027 best teachers in every state by Golf Digest. Golf Magazine 2026, 2027 teachers to watch, Golf Instructions Rising Stars. How do they find out about you?
But basically, for your listener, if you want to find about me, they can go waliagolf.com. That will be the site to go on, and you click Academy, then you will hear about me. They can also call 808-856-9458. And then, obviously, if you go Google and you put Claude Brousseau, you will find about me.
Okay. All right. So I have just a few questions because,
yes,
you know, a lot of people, when they get into the game, they tend to think that, you know, well, I would think that, too. You know, I've got to have a full set of golf clubs. I've got a big bag, and I have to have all these things around with me to clean the shaft or the, you know, all the stuff that needs to be done. Does a new golfer really need all of that? It's expensive.
Yeah, but no, Danielle, no. So basically a new golfer, they need to, I call that, discover if they will like the lifestyle of playing golf because it's a hobby for 98% of the population. So first, you want to invest in just what we'll call that half a set. A full set of golf club is 14 clubs for most of the people. And then basically for a new golfer, I will recommend just buying half a set, we'll call that. So something like use a 3-wood or even a 5-wood just because it's easier to control. Then I would say get a hybrid for the next club. Then after that, a 7, a 9, a pitching wedge, a sand wedge, and a putter. So that's good enough for the new golfer. They better to invest in coaching at the beginning because if you start the right way, it will stick with you, and then you will understand more how to use those clubs.
Oh, I like that. I like that. You know, everybody has a 7.
Yes.
It's like, what is it about the 7 that's magic that makes it just seems to work all the time, or at least most of the time?
It's because that's a very good question, Daniel. It's because it's the length of it is kind of a not too long, not too short.
Uh-huh.
Then the other reason will be, Daniel, because with golfer in general, but more new golfer, when they see like a sand wedge or a pitching wedge, the angle down there kind of is visually weird, I will say, for many golfers. So the 7 doesn't have so much loft, meaning angle at the bottom.
Uh-huh.
So that's why it's a good club to start with. Even for beginner, I would encourage them to experience all the club, you know, like there. Let's say 3-wood, hybrid, pitching, sand wedge, 7, 8, and 9, and just you need to get comfortable and competent, obviously. Your coach will help you to do that. Because the thing is, the sooner you can understand how to use the club in your body and understand why you top the ball, let's say, or why you don't touch it, or why it's going where you don't want to go, you can progress a lot faster.
Yes.
Half a set is good for a beginner.
Okay, and I like this. Golf Digest, you sent me these notes. Golf Digest did a study, cut 5 to 8 shots per round if play with fitted clubs versus not fitted clubs. That's huge. Can you expand on that?
Yes, Danielle, this is huge. So what they did is they used golfer, fairly new and, you know, more all level, but more people who didn't have fitted club.
Uh-huh.
And then why it's important as soon as you decide that, yes, this is my hobby and I would like to do that, it's important to have club fitted because you don't fight your equipment. I like to use analogy. I tell people, if you're a runner and your shoe size is 10, do you buy 12 and a half? No. You know, so the lie of the club, that means the angle from the head to the shaft, we call that lie angle in golf, has a lot to do with the quality that you can hit more often the sweet spot, meaning the middle of the face. If the club are, let's say, too, the angle is not appropriate for you, it compromise the quality of the contact. And then, let's say, if they're too upright, mean that, let's say, the toe is too up, the toe of the club, when you put it down, your ball will have a tendency to go to the left. And so it's important. The lie is very important. The weight of the shaft, the flex of the shaft, the size of the grip. And then, you know what is the good news, Daniel? It's if you buy a fitted set, it's the same price than a non-fitted.
Wow.
So you don't spend more money because your set is fitted for you.
Wow.
That's important for the listener to understand that.
Yes. Yes. I'm sure most folks think that, you know, if you get fitting is going to cost me another $150. No.
No. No. And then quite often, let's say, stores that offer fitting, they if you just go fitting, they may charge a fee to fit you. But if you buy the club, they will waive that fee. Or like here when we do demo day and all that, there is no fee for getting fitted. There's no fee.
Wow, that's great. Thank you.
And then when you buy the set, it's the same price. It's not more because you fit it.
Yeah, that's fabulous. Now, I'm a new golfer. You know, I've been on the range hitting balls, trying to teach myself.
Not a good idea.
But when does a you know, when does the new golfer go on the golf course?
Yeah. So I encourage the golfer, let's say after 3 lessons with your coach, it's time to go on the course and experience, because as you know so well, Daniel, golf is a game where we learn somewhere how to use the club, and you know, but you go and play it on a different surface. I mean, if you learn tennis, you learn it on the court and you play on the court. So for the golfer, after 3 hours of instruction, you should go and experience. But now, here's how you go and experience that. So you call your golf course where you want to go, and you ask them what is the slowest time of the day, meaning that there is less people on the course. Then this is the time that you go. Then you can start, like new golfer, I will say, start maybe 150 yards from the hole. Don't start necessarily where the tee box are. Because, and then I will say, so call when it's slow, you go there. When you go on the golf course, you can start only 150, 100 yards from the green, then go, and then make sure you experience every shot, meaning, okay, you hit the first shot, it doesn't go that far, you hit the next one, and then it goes further, and then you miss the green. Grab the ball, drive, let's say if you're with a golf cart on the pad where you're supposed to park, take your ball, just throw it randomly on the green and putt from there, so you can experience all part of the game. Then I would suggest go with golfers that are more advanced than you. And then when you do that, I would suggest play the, we call that scramble or best ball with that player. Let's say you're better than me and I'm a new golfer, and you say, Claude, come and play with me. So Danielle would hit her shot. Claude would hit his shot. Probably will not be as good as yours because you're better than me. But I will pick up my ball and I will drop it close where you are and play from there, and so on.
Yeah. All right, so they take some of the pressure off you.
Yes, and then I would even recommend, using a tee in the fairway. That's okay. You're not on the LPGA or the PGA. You're there to experience, to get the ball airborne, and it's okay because you have to, I call that, create micro success. You need to get the ball moving forward and then in the air. And if you have to put it on the tee, it's okay. You're not in competition. Obviously, you don't do that in competition, but you're a new golfer.
Yes. I didn't know I could tee it up on the golf course.
Not in competition.
No, but I mean, okay. I didn't know I could do it just being a golfer.
Well, yes. There is no police there coming and say, hey, Daniel, how come you tee up the ball?
Well,
I will give you an example. I have it's a woman, but it could be a man. It doesn't matter. But this lady, she's in rehab because she had some health issue, and she was a very good golfer. And now, you know, because she doesn't want to hit the ground because it hurt her back, she says, I put the ball on the tee in the fairway. I said, this is great. Keep doing it. Because you need to go out and play and have fun.
Yes.
It's about having fun.
Fun. Yeah.
It's not fun hitting the ground and your back hurt. Or it's not fun swinging three times and not touching the ball.
Yeah.
Or even touching it and the thing rolled 10 feet. What is the fun in that? Why in the world you want to put yourself in something like that? As a hobby. It doesn't make sense to me.
You're supposed to go out, and if you're going to go out and play golf, you're supposed to have fun. It's not supposed to hurt your brain,
no.
your sense of self-worth.
The key for new golfer also, Daniel, it's keeping up the pace with the people in front of you. What I mean by that, you know, we put people on the course every 10 minutes, you know, so that's why I suggest going when it's slower, like here, let's say, at Walia. After 4 o'clock, there is not that many people on the course. So for new golfer, newbie, it's a good time to come. Then keep up with the people in front of you. So that means, let's say you're the foursome in front of me, Daniel, with your friends. I'm behind you. So the key is, okay, when you're in the middle, you tee up, you're in the middle of the fairway, so I should be on the tee box, kind of waiting or, you know, getting ready, then you would hit your shot, boom, on the, let's say, close to the green or on the green. Now I hit. So when you're on the green, I need to keep up with you.
Okay.
Is it clear to explain that? It's more like keeping up with the people in front of you, because you will always have people behind you.
Yeah. Yeah, and you don't want to, you know, have those poor people standing there for 30 minutes while you figure out which golf club you're going to use and where the sweet spot is and all of that stuff that goes.
And then I will say, Daniel, just miss it quick. Meaning, you know, you get ready. It's your time. You have already selected your club. Do one practice swing, maybe two, not 10. Okay, just one or two, then go ahead at the ball and keep moving.
Right. This is interesting, and I wanted to get more information. A USGA study is saying 93% of the golf professionals they interviewed, that golfers play the tees that are too long for their abilities. Professionals do it too?
Yes. They interview like professional, like me, coaches, or, you know, director of golf, or people who runs the operation. I would call that assistant pro. They interview those people, and then the question was, do you think that the average golfer, I would call that, you know, the non-professional golfer?
Gotcha.
Do they play? No, it's a non-professional golfer. Do they play from the tee that is appropriate for them? And then 93% of their pros said the golfer do not play from the correct set of tee, meaning distance-wise.
Right, right. Okay, well, how do you know the distance that you should be hitting?
Yeah, that's a very good question. So here I send you a couple ways we can go about that. There is a rule, it's called... Rule meaning a guideline, not it's not a rule of golf, it's a guideline. So a guideline is the 4.5% rule. So that's, okay, so let's say you take yardage on the card, that is 6,000 yards. You multiply that by 4.5, that will give you 270. So if your drive is not doing 270 yards, you should play less than 6,000 yards.
Okay.
That's one way to do it.
Okay.
Another way, just an example. The USGA says, okay, for the average male golfer, let's say the 7-iron is 138 yards. They should play 6,100 yards.
Okay.
If the average female golfer, let's say 7-iron is 100 yards, they should play 4,500 yards.
Okay. And how, you know, this is the most important part. That tool that gives you an idea of what the yardage is would be the best one to get. You're going to need a tool, don't you think, to be able to, the range finder? Let me see if I
Yes, you will need a range finder. You will need to know how far you hit your 7-iron, let's say.
Yeah. So that's a good tool to
have. If
you
hit it, let's say, just round that up, Danielle. If you hit your 7-iron 140 yards, you should be around 6,000 yards.
Okay. All right. And
then if people want to go a little bit deeper on that, Danielle, because I don't want to give too many numbers, you know, they can Google what tee should I play from, and then there is different formula there and the idea of how to go about that.
Okay.
But mainly golfer want to play tees that are too far for them.
Yes, get a rangefinder.
Yeah.
Find out what the distance really is, and after a while, you know, you'll know. You'll start to know all of these things. It doesn't come immediately. It's there's a lot to golf that you have to just kind of accept and learn from. So I like
Correct.
That. I like that.
But just to help you with beginner again, Danielle, the beginners, they need to understand that the dynamic of the club, the way the club are built, for pretty much anybody who plays the game, Danielle, the difference between, let's say, each club, let's say the difference between a 9 and an 8, it's roughly 10 yards.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good.
Okay?
Yeah.
So if you hit your 9, let's say, 100 yards to make it easy, your 8 will go 110, and so on.
Okay, good. And I want everybody to walk away from this conversation with Claude Brousseau, with some food for thought. Food for thought. I like this.
Go ahead, which one you like?
I rather like this one from Winston Churchill, often attributed at least to him. I don't ever remember hearing him actually say it in one of those reels. The positive thinker sees the invisible, feels the intangible, and achieves the impossible. Yes!
I love that too.
Do you have
in down that road, Danielle? I got that in my office this year, on the wall.
Yeah.
One letter changed everything. Nothing is impossible because I am possible. So if you just put an A in between the I and the M in possible, I am possible. So I love that one.
Yeah. Here's one from Hannick McCarty, author. It's not who you are that holds you back. It's who you think you're not.
That's a good one, isn't it?
Yes. These are wonderful. Have some confidence. Okay. Claude Brousseau, thank you so much for being inside the clubhouse with us.
Thank you so much, Danielle. It's such a pleasure, you know,
it's fun. Yes.
On your show.
Thank you. Next time we're going to go for the intermediate person, the person who's
sounds good.
Left a beginner role and is trying to challenge themselves on a longer level or something. We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
When Sears opened here more than 60 years ago, who made all their signs? The Honolulu Sign Company, to 1724 Hart Street off Waikamula Road on the Everside. They do building marquees, letter signs and lighted signs, parking and tow signs of every kind, OSHA compliant signs, custom signs of all types. Call 847-4047. Licensed and insured Honolulu Sign, serving Hawaii since 1939, where quality and service have not been forgotten. Call 847-4047 now.
All right. You know Pacific Repair Services? Did you think your toaster could be repaired? You probably thought, no, my toaster can't be repaired. Who do you call when your home appliance isn't working? Pacific Repair Services, of course, located at 540 Lagoon Drive, right across from JN Motors. PRS, they do repairs, maintenance, and sales, and you can call them. It's 808, of course, the entire state is 808, 736-4080, 736-4080. Or you can go online and you can find them at prscares.com. We fix, maintain, and sell refrigerators, stoves, microwaves, and dishwashers at fabulous prices. And another shipment just arrived. So rely on Pacific Repair Services because your home appliances have to work.
Poipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Share our home with need a gift for that special someone? Tired of giving fruit baskets you know are getting recycled? Give a Poipu Bay golf gift certificate. Whether it's a birthday, business, or anniversary, here's the one gift that is always the right size and the perfect date. Just give us a call and it will be waiting for you to pick up or mailed to your office. There may even be time to sneak in a nine. Call us for the perfect gift, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay on the Garden Isle.
What does your company sell? Do you provide a service, fill a need, sell insurance or real estate, or that must-have new car? Become a sponsor of Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club radio show. We reach a pure target audience of business owners. Let us help you. We have affordable rates, and it's easy to do. Just email rick@radiogolfclub.com or call Rick at 808-220-1000. Reach the people like you who are too busy running their business. That's Rick at radiogolfclub.com or call 808-220-1000.
Off a tree, hit a rock, and bounce next to the pin. That's my kind of golf. Now back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
And I am so happy to have Ed Kageyama, PGA General Manager, and General Manager Alawai Driving Range, the new operator. Welcome into the clubhouse, Ed.
Good morning, Daniel. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. And so is the Alawai open?
Alawai's open, operating. Yep.
Yeah.
It's been going about 6 weeks now. So, yeah, it's been public's been coming back. So it's been good to get people back out there.
Yeah, I bet. I bet. What did you do to the golf course when it was closed?
Well, the city had closed it to do some renovation work out there. There were some drainage issues they needed to fix. You know, being so close to the sea level, you know, water draining out of that thing was an issue. So they did some work out there, regrew some turf, new range mats, new golf balls. You know, everything's new on the equipment side, and it's we're just glad to get people back out.
Yeah, absolutely. And so you have different. Let me see now. I have a list of what we can do on the golf course, and you have a whole list of the prices, too. Oh, gee, I seem to have... Oh, no, it's right there at the bottom of the page. So that's really reasonable. You can get a small bucket, 35 balls for $10. You get
right.
The rental clubs for $45. And you can get a large bucket of balls, 70 balls, it's $15. And this is what I was talking about with Claude Brousseau earlier, about going on the golf course, you don't have to go on the course, and sometimes it's always better to go on the range for a while. Get used to the swing, get used to, and you'll need a bucket of balls. You don't want to bring your own because you'll never get them back.
it's a great place to, you know, for people to practice, and you know, having, you know, working at a golf course, I've never had an issue of a lack of practice space, but it's very true for a lot of people that, you know, they're looking for places to practice, and especially being kind of in the heart of town, very easily accessible. You know, there's, you know, 40 stalls, and so there's a lot of space, and you know, there's a lot of people coming down, coming back, and practicing.
So, in addition to the drainage things that had to be done, you did some really great things for the driving range. Tell us about that.
Well, we just brought in some new mats, new range stall dividers, you know, balls, buckets, and those kinds of things. It's just all brand new. You know, those things age, especially in the sun in Hawaii, and so you just gotta keep rotating those things out. And so we just brought in new stuff, and you know, nothing. Nothing earth-shattering. It's just new, and so people are be able to play off of, you know, newer mats and new golf balls.
Right. Well, this is cool because the new hitting mats, stall dividers, and range balls, and you're on the range, and the hitting mats are so critical to, you know, getting a nice hit with your, and you, when you're looking at the mat and it's getting old and worn. It kind of it sort of makes you uncomfortable. You're not sure.
It's right? Yeah, and plus the range mats, when they get old, they get kind of hard and crusty, and so you feel it a lot in the vibration, you know, the impact on your hands and your wrists and your elbows. And so having little softer ones, you know, is always better. And then the, you know, once range balls start losing their dimples, the balls start flying funny. And so you never really get a good sense of, you know, how well you hit the ball.
Yeah.
And so, you know, those things are, you know, small, simple things, but they are very important.
So, and you're open from 6:30 in the morning until 11 o'clock at night?
Yeah. So, yeah, winter hours, when the sun comes up a little earlier in the summer, you know, we'll probably bump up opening, well, like maybe 30 minutes or so. Sun doesn't rise. It's about 7 or 7:10 right now. So 6:30, they get in about 6:30, and people start playing, are warming up, especially people that are playing at Aloha in the morning early. Maybe they need a place to swing a little bit. So, yeah, so 6:30, they'll be there. And then last bucket sold at 9:30, so they have to just finish up.
Right on.
You know, by 11, yeah.
Well, it gives everybody a chance. You know, people who work mornings or people who work afternoons or evenings. Everybody.
Yeah, exactly. There is a little rush in the evenings. People get off of work. You know, people that work night shifts, evening shifts. Yeah, there's a little bump of business in the later in the evening. Yeah, it's try to service all.
Right on. So this is part of your focus on accessible, affordable, local golf.
Yeah, you know, that's, you know, you know, having been, you know, in the golf industry, you know, over 30 years and all different types of facilities, that, you know, I've always wanted to get back to my grassroots, you know, playing Oahu Junior Golf, you know, playing a lot of the municipal courses on Oahu. And, you know, yeah, keeping it affordable and financially accessible as best we can. And that's a big part of, like, what I want to try and do. And so we'll try our best and keep doing that.
Right on. Are you working on any other projects right now?
Well, I still got Pearl. You know, I'm still doing Pearl at Kalo'au, and you know, we're still, you know, we're just maybe about one year open with the new course and the renovated building, and so we're still working through some kinks and just kind of figure out how we do things. Some things change a little bit, but how the golf course operates, how the golf course plays. So we're still learning every day, but yes, Pearl's got a, we have a lot going on at Pearl, and it keeps me busy.
I bet. Now, what did you do to what was the Pearl Country Club and is now the
Pearl at Kalo'au?
Yeah, Pearl at Kalo'au. Yeah. What did you do to the course?
So the course, it's, you know, it's built, designed and built from, you know, mid-60s standards. And so, you know, over the last, 50, 60 years that the standards have changed. And so while one, design aspects, but two, just the engineering technology has gotten so much better. And so through the redesign of the golf, of the greens complexes was a lot of drainage to get the water to move off of the greens and drain and percolate through. One of the issues we had in the past with the old greens is it would hold too much water. Mm. And that's why it was really difficult to grow grass on the old greens. And so part of the work on there was to really work the drainage part of the greens because it does get a decent amount of rain. And then the irrigation, same thing with the irrigation. Some of that was original. Usually you go through about maybe 20 or 30 years on an irrigation system. And this one had actually was on its third life. And so, we had a lot of breaks, frequent breaks, and those types of things, and coverage issues. And so, brand new irrigation system, state of the art. It measures the atmospheric, metrics. If it rains, it'll shut off some of the water. If it rains more up on the Malka part of the course, but less on the Mackay side of the course, it'll adjust how much water goes out to not overwater. And so it's a really smart system so that we can be better, manage our water usage better, and just be just a smarter system. So
nice.
A lot of the stuff that we did on the golf course is underground that people won't even see. But, on top, it's just, we made it more of a contemporary design. We put in on the greens, the Paspalum, the Platinum TE Paspalum, which is a really good putting surface. So the golf course is in really good shape. Fun to play.
Fun to play.
Definitely fun to play.
I like that. So I love this. Welcome to Pearl at Kalaauau. Nestled within the Kalaauau Ahupua'a, which is a land division. That's what that means, Ahupua'a. We've got Pearl at Kalaauau, a club deeply rooted in the Mo'olelo, the stories, the Wa'i Pana stories, and traditional names of the Aina, the land, while honoring its history as the Pearl Country Club. So can you tell us a little bit about the history of where Pearl at Kalaauau is?
Yeah, so the Ahupua'a includes, goes down to where what is right now like Sumida Watercress Farm, and then goes all the way up into the valleys. And so there is some historical significance in some of the areas. Some battles were done out there by hole number 4 along the freeway. A lot of the Ali'i used to use that area as sort of their playground because of a lot of the streams that came through. And so there is some history through there, and and as local people know, the Ahupua'a is just the land division that the Hawaiians used to use, where you could fish, farm, hunt, and had access to water, all through your property. And we wanted to go back to our roots and and kind of bring that back into part of our DNA at Pearl at Kalaauau.
I like that. Very much. It's important. So in 2020, ownership returned to Kamehameha Schools?
So you're right. So it had, Kamehameha, obviously had owned the land as part of Bernice Pauahi Bishop's trust, and had been on a lease, a 55-year lease. And the lessee who had it the longest was Mr. Honda from Honda Motor.
Oh, yeah.
He had it for about 45 years. And then that lease had expired in October 2020, and they had indicated that they were not going to renew, and so it reverted back to Kamehameha Schools, and Kamehameha, to their credit, decided to to keep it, not lease it back out to another third party, but to keep it and to do put in the money and invest into the renovation and bring it back for our local community to use and enjoy.
Wow, nice. We are KORL, Y and I, Honolulu. What I was curious about, too, is what was the reaction from people after, what was it, a year of working to do the renovations to make it Perla Kalaau'au? What was the reaction from the community?
Yeah, you know, it was one change is always, you know, is always new with people, right? And so right. Some like change, some don't like change.
Yeah.
And so there was some of that, and it didn't matter what we did to it. There was just going to be that same kind of reaction to it. One of the things that sort of I always pay attention to is that people would say, oh, I love Pearl, the old Pearl, because I always had my lowest score there ever. You know, and so from a golfer, you know, like from an operator standpoint, it's just that doesn't necessarily make me feel good that they view it as a really easy golf course, and that's
right.
why it was their favorite.
Yes.
Part of it was to, we have a really diverse clientele being public access that we do have people that are some new to the game or higher handicaps. And we also have some people that are low handicap, and we needed to create a golf course that could appeal to all. And so, through the renovations, we knew that we wanted to be a competitive venue. And so we did need to make it a little more strategic, a little more rewarding on good quality shots on golf in order for us to be a competitive venue. But yet you can play the golf course and not lose a golf ball, you know,
wow.
So it can play to everybody's ability. It's a broad mix. We can stretch it out. We can make it harder. We can work with playing positions if we want to toughen it up a little bit for tournaments,
yeah.
Speed up the greens. But we've had a US Open qualifier. We've had two college tournaments. We had AJGA tournament, the first ever AJGA tournament in Hawaii, at Pearl, the new Pearl. And it's held up. It has held up on a competitive venue, but yet be still accessible to the everyday Joe golfer. And today there's three PGA pros playing out there today, PGA Tour pros playing out there today.
Really?
They came back, and this because it is that kind of golf course for that caliber of player.
Wow. Now, I wonder what those PGA Tour players, why they came to Hawaii. There's not much. Do you know why they're here?
Well, they're going to be playing in a Sony. Yeah. That's on the agenda.
That's on the agenda. They're playing in the Sony, of course. But they're practicing. They're keeping their game sharp at Perla Kalaau'au. Now, that's a huge kudo.
Yeah, and it is a compliment. And, you know, that is, you know, we were very intentional in that part of our work and the renovation work was to be able to be that type of facility. And credit to our grounds crew that, you know, they can make it a course for tour pros to really like and challenge themselves, but also to our everyday golfers. And so one of the things that we also added was a short game training area. And so a lot of college players have been out there. Young pros, local young pros have been out there. We've had some JPGA players out there this week, also coming for the Sony, Japan PGA pros,
yeah.
Out there. And, you know, and so, and they're all enjoying the golf course and, we're very happy for that part of it.
Excellent. I appreciate the time that you've given me, but is there something I didn't ask or give you an opportunity to talk about that you wanted to?
When you talk about affordability, you know, some of the things that we're doing at Pearl is that we just launched on Monday with Kids Eat Free.
Kids Eat
dinner.
Wait, hold.
Yeah.
Kids Eat Free.
Yeah, Kiki, 12 and under, with an adult, paying adult, obviously. We have a little Kiki menu, and so we've opened the dinner, extended hours to dinner, and people have been coming in and enjoying it. But one thing we want to do is, we want to make it affordable and for people and for families, like local families. And so we do Kids Eat Free weekdays. And then our local golfers, we have an app. Our app special. If you download the app, the Pearl at Kalaau'au app, you can buy 5 rounds of golf for the price of 4.
Nice.
So that's weekday rounds, and you can use them one at a time, or you can use them all 4 at, you know, or one foursome when you buy it. And so, yeah, it's a lot of flexibility. But yeah, we just want to keep it, you know, keep things, you know, affordable and financially accessible as best we can to our local community.
That's beautiful. Thank you. Thank you for all you do, and thank you for being with me. And anytime you have anything you'd like to talk about, Pearl at Kalaau'au or Alawai Golf Course, let me know. Pleasure, mine.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks, Daniel. Thank you for all you do for our golf industry here in Hawaii.
It's my pleasure. Absolutely. We need to go out and have some fun. Remember what Mark Rolfing said about sunscreen. You apply it, and then you reapply it. Yeah, once is not enough for a whole day out there on the golf course. Thank you, Ed.
Thank you. Thank you. Have a good day.
You too. Aloha. We're going to come back. Michael Patrick Shields, my travel guru extraordinaire. He's with us this morning, and as always, he's bringing into the clubhouse a little flair, you know, a little Hollywood, because hey, we're all into Hollywood just a little bit, and they play golf over there. We may not be talking about golf, but we're talking about what's going on, because all the shows are happening, you know, where all the award ceremonies and everybody comes out with their absolutely most fabulous dresses or absolutely most fabulous suits. Oh, it's wonderful. We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
I'm Colin Morikawa, 2020 PGA Champion. In every golf journey, some goals can feel like an uphill climb, even intimidating, especially if you're on your own. But in the game of golf, helping hands are all around us. Whether you dream of a championship or you're just trying to make golf your thing, PGA coaches have industry-leading knowledge, guidance, and support to help you take the next step. Just like my PGA coach, Rick Sessinghouse, has always done for me. Wherever your golf journey is headed, a PGA coach can get you there. Find your PGA coach at pga.com/coach.
Who do you call when your home appliance isn't working? Pacific Repair Services. Pacific Repair Services, located at 540 Lagoon Drive across from JN Motors. PRS does repairs, maintenance, and sales. Call us at 808-736-4080 or find us on the web at prscares.com. We fix, maintain, and sell refrigerators, stoves, microwaves, and dishwashers at fabulous prices. Rely on Pacific Repair Services, because your home appliances have to work.
It's Aloha Power's Landscape Super Sale, featuring riding mowers from homeowners to landscapers. Warranties and delivery available. We take trade-in mowers. Weed it, whack it, mow it, blow it. Mowers, blowers, trimmers, generators, chainsaws. You want them? We got them today. Aloha Power Equipment, Evilay, next to Costco gas station and in Waipahu.
Aloha.
And we ship off island.
Power Equipment.
Aloha Power Equipment. We put power at your fingertips.
What's a great way to shape up your golf? Polish your swing at the Newtown Golf Driving Range, located in Aiea. Stop by to warm up before your round, or wind down after work and hit a few balls. Enjoy great food from our popular Newtown Cafe, and check out the Asau Golf Shop for the most up-to-date golf equipment and club repairs. The Newtown Driving Range, operated by the Casey Nakama Golf Group. Good golf, good food, and good fun.
Man, I thought that was in the cup. It bounced out. I've been robbed. Now, back to the clubhouse with Danielle Tucker.
And before we bring him in, I just want to thank Michael Patrick Shields for rescuing me on a very, a very difficult week. It's been interesting. Michael Patrick Shields, my travel guru extraordinaire, Hollywood insider. Home base is Beverly Hills. But, you know, I don't think he's in Beverly Hills much at all, because I'm usually talking to him about something somewhere far, far away, whether it's Paris or Venezia or wherever he happens to be. But I think he must be in California. He must be in Los Angeles. Welcome into the clubhouse, Michael Patrick Shields.
Well, thank you for saving me this morning. Give me something to talk about on a sunny day here, yes, in Hollywood, where the stars shine at night and the sunglasses come out during the day. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. I thought they wore them 24/7.
Yeah, to try to conceal their identities, which is impossible if you're here right now because the Golden Globes are Sunday. And this is the official sort of, well, last week, I guess the Critics' Choice was the official start. But this is the real start when it gets heavy. And every single day there's a party somewhere, more than one usually. And they're A-list parties. And so the celebrities and actors and actresses and producers and directors will go from event to event to event. And you might think, well, they're just whooping it up and having fun. But often the reason they're doing this is for commercial fundraising and also to get noticed and get the votes for things like the Golden Globes and especially the Academy Awards, and those nominees will be coming out in a week or so.
Wow. The
campaign.
What was that again? Did you
it's
say
the campaign?
Oh, I thought you said,
you know,
champagne.
If you drive around town too, you'll see billboards that say "For Your Consideration," and there'll be the, you know, the picture of an actress in a movie or something like that.
And I thought you said champagne.
Well, there's a lot of that too, and there was last night, because last night was a good long day. But before I go over there, I want to pull it back to golf for just a second.
Sure.
Here, has anyone or have you watched the Chevy Chase documentary that came out about a week ago?
No. No.
The reason I bring that up is we all love Caddyshack, and
yeah,
we all thought Ty Webb was hilarious in Caddyshack. And, of course, that was Chevy Chase. And the documentary is a really rough watch, man. He had a hard life, and he was even unpleasant in the interviews during the documentary. And apparently, when he was playing Ty Webb, when they were shooting Caddyshack, which partly shot in Florida down there near Miami, he was under a heavy influence of drugs and struggling with alcohol addiction and all of that. Exposed some of the other cast members to it, and it wasn't very fun after all.
No. What we see on the screen is not necessarily what's happening off the screen. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's sad.
That's what I hear.
Yeah. It's so difficult. Is he still having those problems?
I don't think he's having those problems anymore, but he's very cantankerous. And he was on a show, I forget what it was called, Community or something like that, in 2013, where they had a rough time with him, too. And you know, I think he commissioned this documentary, and even when he's answering the questions from the person, he says, "You're going to have a hard time getting to know me, because I don't want anyone to get to know." You know, it's like that kind of thing. So it's like watching a car accident, but it's interesting, and that's my way of pulling it to golf back with Caddyshack.
No, that's interesting. How do I find it?
I just Google Chevy Chase documentary. Not only will you find the documentary, but you'll find plenty of stories written about it because it was so, you know, sensational.
Yeah.
And speaking of that, I did see Happy Gilmore yesterday, Adam Sandler holding his wife's hand in the lobby of Four Seasons Los Angeles, next door where I'm sitting right now.
Wow.
He was at the AFI Awards, and there were lots of them at the AFI Award lunch. It was yesterday, actually, before the awards. And so in the lobby there, I ran into a whole bunch of cool people. He was one of them. He was in a sort of a fast mode, though. He got through the lobby and out the door. But there were others that I got a chance to have a word or two with at that place. Brian Cox, did you ever watch Succession? Did you see Logan Roy on that show?
Yeah. Succession.
Okay, well, you know Logan Roy. He was the sort of the godfather of the HBO show Succession. And he is tiny. You know, on the show, he's got such a huge personality. But when you see him in person, he's a little guy. And he was kind of wandering around the lobby, not sure how to find his car. And it was sweet. Then he went to the bathroom. And then, so here I'm going to get a chance to talk to him when he comes out, because he's going to walk right past me. And as he approaches me, as you know, Danielle, I always like to have some sort of gambit where I say something you know, unusual to, yes, to a famous person. Not something boring. I would never say, love your work, or a big fan, or anything stupid like that. I would say something thoughtful. So here he comes, and as he's about to reach me, mm-hmm, there's a woman next to me who shouts at him. And you know what she shouted at him? Do you remember the phrase he was known for in that show that we can't say on the radio?
Oh!
The first word is it. Oh. The first word is an F, and
yes,
the second word is an O.
Yes!
And he would say that at the end of his meetings when he was done with everyone, just F off. Well, this woman screamed F off at him.
My God.
Yeah, and then he kept going, and I'm like, lady, you gotta do better than that. You just ruined my moment with Brian Cox, the cliche of cliches.
Well, you know, she needed, yeah, her moment, apparently.
Oh, God. Well.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Anyway, I did. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Jeff Goldblum came through a little bit later. You like him?
Yes, I, yes. Yes.
Well, you'll be happy to know he's very, very pleasant. And oh, a couple of three times I've been around him, he's been super fun. This time he was especially fun. And he walked through and I said, hey, that suit is fly.
What did he do?
Then, you remember? Because he was in the movie Fly.
Yes.
That was one of his big movies. He said, yes, very funny. You know, he makes those funny faces, like, you know,
so you gave him a perfect open. Well,
Seth Rogen came after him, and Seth Rogen's got that studio show now that's getting lots of awards, and he had a tan suit on, which is unusual, and so I said, a snazzy suit, and he was not playful at that. He said, yeah, thanks.
Yeah, thanks. Going. Yeah, yeah. I get it all the time.
Yeah. I tell you, the woman I wanted to meet, and she was across the lobby, and I couldn't get to her in time, was Jessie Buckley.
Oh.
Jessie Buckley is starring right now in Hamnet, and she won the Critics' Choice Award last week.
Wow.
She will win everything going forward. She's from Killarney, Ireland.
Oh.
And I wanted to wish her a happy St. Patrick's Day in advance. And if I see her today, possibly, at the BAFTA tea, or maybe at the Movies for Grown-Ups Awards later, that's what I'm going to say. That's my gambit to her, is talk a little bit about Ireland.
Oh, that's good. I like that. That's very good.
Yeah.
You know exactly where she's from, which town in Ireland?
Yeah, she's from Killarney, which is visited by many, many tourists who go.
There you go.
County Kerry, which is the home of Tralee Golf Club and
yes,
Ballybunion Golf Club, yeah, to pull it back to golf, and
yes,
Waterville. And the links at Killarney there. So it's a really popular spot. And it's not too far from Shannon Airport. And you can also get there from Dublin Airport. But
Michael Patrick Shields,
St. Patrick's thing.
Michael Patrick Shields knows everything because he's in radio. Michael Patrick Shields, tell us what you do.
Radio talk show host. And yesterday I was forced into business photographer, that same woman who screamed out F off at
yes, yes,
Logan Roy, Ethan Hawke comes through and she's about to have a conniption. Will you take my picture with Ethan? I said, I don't want to take pictures. This is not a take picture thing. She's so excited she insisted. So she gets out her camera. He agrees to do it. You know, these poor people, these insufferable pictures and selfies. And now she's like, well, move it this way, and I'll put it that way, and let me put the flash on. I'm like, lady, you take one more picture, and he's going to call his agent, and you're going to have a $3 million bill.
Yeah.
I mean, my God, like, this is so – I'd rather have a nice, fun moment with someone, and I had that yesterday. You remember that book I wrote called Invite Yourself to the Party?
Yeah.
Well, I had another one of those moments. They keep coming. And
good.
Ashley Schleifer is her name, and she's the producer of Train Dreams, one of the big movies right now. And so she also did Now You See Me and some others. And I met her briefly, and she was very pleasant. And I looked down the end of the bar at Four Seasons, and she was sitting there with her friend. So I quickly Googled her, and I looked at her ex profile, and she said she likes books, film, travel, music, and crispy fries, ooh, not necessarily in that order. So MPS secretly gets an order of crispy fries coming out from the kitchen. And the man, the server, brings them out. They're beautifully displayed because it's Four Seasons, of course.
Of course.
And he comes in and I said, are those the crispy fries? He said, yes. I said, right this way. And because I didn't want to give them to her, I wanted him to. So he steers into where she's at the bar and puts the crispy fries in front of her. And I said, hello again. I read that you love crispy fries. And so, and she was like over the moon touched by it. And I gave her my card, and sure enough, she ate the fries, and it was just sort of fun. I said, thanks for what you do, and thanks for being friendly, and enjoy the crispy fries. And I left her a little, one of my little cards with a note in it, thank you card. So that was fun for me, and
yes,
it was fun for her, and it was an invite yourself to the party moment.
That's lovely. Will she be on your radio show one day?
Well, I don't know. You know, I would. She has my card now and my thank you card, and so she wants to say thanks or whatever. Maybe she will. Maybe she won't, but that's the chance you take.
Yes.
Who knows? Maybe you make a friend and maybe you don't.
Yeah.
You'll be happy to know as a radio host, Madeline Zima, who was on The Nanny and Californication. I spent a little time chatting with her at a different event yesterday. It was a different awards show. She loves radio. The capital R, radio. And her child, young 2-year-old, loves radio, too, and they turn it on in the house. And one of the things she said she loves about it is the unpredictability of radio. And certainly you never know what's coming next on your show, and you provide all sorts of surprises and things along the way. So I'm happy to hear. There's another generation of radio listeners coming, thanks to Madeline Zima.
Thank you very much. It's really important. Yeah, I never know what's coming when I'm doing my traffic reports. It's like, wait a second. A second ago, there was not a problem. All of a sudden, everybody's tied up. What happened? And I never know what's going to happen when Michael Patrick Shields is on the show. And that's why I love having you on the show, my travel guru extraordinaire, based in Beverly Hills. How can you afford that?
Not easy, that's for sure. But I want you to take care of your heart and your soul and your hip.
Thank you. Oh, gosh.
Talk to you next.
All that, yes. It's been quite the week. You know, discovery, and oh, dear, is it that time again in life. Thank you very much, Michael Patrick Shields, for being inside the clubhouse with me. It's always an honor, and it's always a pleasure, because you're in radio, and so am I.
That's right. Bless your soul.
Thank you. Aloha. All right, we're going to give you a couple of things to think about here. You want to go play a round of golf? Because the Two Beer Crew is going to be playing at Macaulay 9:18 and 10:28. So see if you're in their company or close by. You won't feel weird about having a beer. Does anybody ever feel weird on the golf course about having a beer? I doubt it. Okay, Poipu has the 10:20, an 11:40, and a 12:30. And if you want to go to Kauai Lagoons, there's a 10:16, 11:08, and a 12 o'clock. These golf courses are in fabulous condition. You need to go. All right, like Perla Kalaau. I don't have their tee times, but Hawaii Kai, 8:56 and 9:20. Turtle Bay has an 8:32, a 9:10, an 11:48. And the Turtles, we play slow. They're on the golf course, too. All right. Thanks, guys. I needed that. Royal Hawaiian Country Club, 8:52, 9:06, 10:10. The Skirts. The Skirts should get together with the Turtles. All right. But they're not on the same golf course. Oh, well. Royal Hawaiian Golf Course, 8:52, 9:06, 10:10. And Eva Beach has a 9:36, 9:08, and 11. Yeah, it's Eva Beach Golf Course. It's a 8:36, 9:08, and 11:10. Nice golf course. All of these are. They're all beautiful. Bayview, 8:40, 9:20. And then Wailea Gold Course, yes, it's a 8:50 and a 9:20. The Emerald Course has a 9:50. it may not be there anymore because that was the only tee time they had. Blue Course has an 840, a 920, a 950. That's really close together. A lot of people playing golf. I hear it's a really beautiful day outside. I need to go look. All right. All right. And the Emerald Course, did I mention? Yes. Yeah, there's the Blue Course, 840, 920, 950. And at Maui Nui, there's a 920, a 1040, and an 1136. Yes, I'm in radio. I should be able to say all these things without stumbling. Thank you for your mama, and may you hit the sweet spot every time. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club radio show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on The Golf Club.
Copyright 2026.